Oftentimes, we get going from week to week, and we forget to point at the things that that God has done or God is doing. And I just wanted to take a minute to point to what happened last week, our Easter service. And we had tons of people. It was a beautiful expression, walk from the cross, exchanging their heart of stone for a heart of flesh. And as they walked, it was this picture of them following Christ through this place from death to life. In essence, showing everybody here that they were saying yes to Jesus, that they were giving their lives, that they were exchanging their hearts, and that Christ was doing something of a spiritual baptism here last week. And I want to point to it and say, that was awesome. I want to point to it and say, that was awesome. It was an awesome display of people following Christ. And what it meant was, whether people came up here just going through the motions or whether they meant it in their hearts, there was something that was happening here last week where people were surrendering their lives to Christ, whether it was for the first time or it was for the one of many times in their lives that they've surrendered their lives. And Jesus is preparing us for something. As we go through the story, it feels like the story is always preparing God's people for something. God is preparing his people through the Old Testament for Jesus coming. Jesus coming is preparing us for his death and resurrection. The death and resurrection and his ascension is preparing us for something, the creation of the church. That's where you and I are right now. We are the church. He is preparing us for something. He is preparing the church for his second coming, where he comes back and he's the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and he starts to renew and replace everything that's broken, and he is the one rightful king. He's preparing us. Let me pray for us. Lord, we thank you that you are preparing us. We thank you that we can celebrate last week in what you led us through. Lord, you do take our heart of stone and you replace it with a heart of flesh, and you give us your heart. It's a new heart. And not only that, but we learn this week that you give us your spirit that puts us on a mission to build your kingdom here and now, that it's bursting forth through our lives. So, Lord, I pray that you would open our hearts wide for the work of your Spirit and for how you're going to speak to us. Speak through this text. In Jesus' name, amen. So God is preparing us right now. Yes, he's preparing us for his second coming. He's preparing us for the kingdom of heaven and that new heaven and new earth. But today, he's preparing us for something, even today, this week, this month. And we need to pay attention to what he's preparing us for. He's preparing us for a move of his spirit, a growth of our character, and a building of his family, the bride of Christ. This is church. Last week, what we experienced is church. Church isn't something we just do because it's a good thing to do. It's not something we do that gets us into heaven. It's something that we've been put on, a mission. We are the church, and church isn't just really about meeting somewhere. It's about a people. It's about his family. This is church. This is why I'm here. I'm not here because I get a paycheck. If that's the only reason, this job really is too hard for that. I'm here because it's a calling. Because back in Acts, something happened there that we're moving forward. And that is why we're here. We're here because that same church that was built then is still moving now. It's still moving out throughout the world. Maybe first century, second century, third century, it started to expand, but it's been expanding. It's been expanding since he sent his Holy Spirit. So why are we here? What are we being prepared for? There are two scriptures that we hold on to that basically give us the answer. What are we being prepared for? What is it that we do? We really don't need to ask Jesus, what do you want us to do? Because he's already told us. And these two scriptures point it out. And that's all we need. We need to go about what these two scriptures said. If you call yourself a Christian and you belong to a church, this is what we're to be doing. Matthew 28, this is before Jesus' ascension. So he's raised from the dead. He's appeared to 500 people to prove that he is alive. And then he ascends into heaven. Right before he ascends, he gives his followers a couple of passages. Matthew 28, 18. Jesus said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." This is a key statement here because before Christ died on the cross and rose from the grave, the keys of the kingdom of earth belonged to Satan. He had them. He had the power of death. And he held that. That's why he offered it to Jesus in the temptation. He said, "Here you go. You can have them." He said, "No, not this way. I'm going to get them back my way, God's way." And so at this point, Jesus has all authority over this earth and the kingdom of heaven. And he says, "It's all been given to me. Now, therefore, go. I am giving it to you." Just like in the Garden of Eden when he said that in the cultural mandate, go rule over the fish of the seas. And it's a mandate. I'm giving you authority in my name to do my work. And so he says, go. Go make disciples. That means followers of Jesus Christ. In all nations, everywhere you go, go make disciples. There's lots of patterns of disciple making, but we know one thing, that we're to go and invest in other people and be invested in by people who are further along in the journey than us. Be discipled and make disciples. It says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all I have commanded you. Surely I am with you always to the very ends of the age. How is he with us? How is Jesus with us? The next verse that I'm going to point out is Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and he tells us, but you, he tells his disciples, go to Jerusalem and wait. Wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, the Godhead. There's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So God, through the Spirit, is with us. And he says, wait on the Spirit to receive power. The Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you may be my witnesses in Jerusalem, all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Jerusalem was there where they were at. Samaria and Judea was the outskirts of this area. A lot of it enemy territory. Definitely not territory that they had Gentiles there, and they weren't all Jews. And then to the ends of the earth. And where you sit right now, kind of feel your seat. This is where you're sitting. Just feel it. It's real. It's beneath you. Where you sit right now are the ends of the earth. We are a long way from Jerusalem. Yeah, I've been there. It took probably about 16 hours in a plane traveling hundreds of miles an hour. to get there. It's a long way away. Oftentimes in Western thought and our minds, we think, no, we're the center of the earth. We're not. We're at the ends of the earth. We're here today because this verse has been fulfilled by these disciples that were with Jesus. He says, take it, take the gospel to the ends of the earth. And it has come to us to continue that, to be witnesses. What does it mean to be a witness? Being a witness means that you realize what God has done, how he has impacted you, how he has rescued you and saved you, and he has built into you, and he's given you a family. He's given you a hope and a future. He's met you right where you're at. And to give witness to that means to tell others, to say, I got good news. Good news that happened to me is also good news from you, no matter where you're at. It's good news. So these two are very clear. Go make disciples and be a witness of what Christ has done. And the Holy Spirit gives us power to do that. The Holy Spirit is God's with us to the very ends of the age. It's a mission that you and I are on. As followers of Jesus Christ, Paul says it that we're ambassadors of reconciliation. We're co-laborers with Christ to tell the world the good news through the way we live our lives, through the way that we love God, the way we love one another, and the way we love our neighbor, and the way that we do church. This is church. This is church. I don't know about you, but I've had in different times of my life a holy discontent. Like things aren't right. I want them to be right. I want there to be more. When I was in college, I went to a Christian college, and my friends, we were all kind of studying ministry, to be in ministry, vocational ministry together. And so we had this kind of pocket of friends that hung out. And we always had these conversations when we were talking about Acts. You look at the book of Acts and you think, there's got to be more. There's got to be more to this Christian thing than we're seeing at times in our lives. And we longed for more. We prayed for more. We felt like there was more to be required of our lives, that we'd be a part of something big. And as we connected, even the fact that we were having that conversation bonded us together like brothers. It gave us a connection that I can now call any one of these guys and they would show up at any given time if I needed them. I can remember we were on this river, just throwing rocks in the river, but we ended up sharing our stories with one another. Kind of the deep abscesses of our soul with one another. The stuff that we don't talk about, the secrets. And we shared them with one another, and we each held that with grace and acceptance and kind of just dug in with each other. In that moment, we became brothers. Different than blood relation, more significant than blood relation. We became eternal brothers that were there for one another. And I would say for that reason, we were bonded together in what I would call God's family. And we started to do his work and go out. And in that mission, I believe that each one of us has seen parts of this Acts 2 church that I'm going to talk about. We've seen parts of it come alive, and we've been able to share with one another in a way that has been pretty amazing, and we support each other. I would say that what we experienced there was church. That is the building up of the church. So we look at Acts, and essentially this church, this Acts 2 church, comes during the time of Pentecost. Brandon talked about Pentecost last week and saying that it's a festival. It's an agricultural festival where there are first fruits that are brought and given to the Lord. But there's a lot more that happens during this Passover time. So I want to show you just a display of it, the historical context of this. Go to the next slide there. The historical context of Acts 2, we have in the Old Testament, Passover, Exodus chapter 12. A few days later, there's liberation. They come out of the Red Sea, out of slavery. And a few 50 days later, they're at Sinai and they get the law. And they become a community. The same happens here. Matthew 26, there's Passover. Christ is crucified. A few days later, there's a resurrection. In between resurrection and Pentecost, Matthew 28 happens, where he gives his commission. He gives his mission to his followers. And then at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes. The coming of the law that's written on our hearts. And it creates a community, a family, the body of Christ, the church. At Sinai, God gave them the law, the Torah. They experienced God and they became a community. At Pentecost, God gave them the Holy Spirit. They experienced God and they became a family, the church. It's all been written out for us. It's all pointing us to what we're doing right now, and this is church. It's more significant than just coming and sitting and participating and listening. Stage one is Israel. Stage one is Israel. And the plan was is that through Israel, all nations would be blessed. Stage two is Jesus, the true Israelite, came out of Israel, out of the tribe of Judah. And he came and he gave us the Sermon on the Mount. And he presented us the kingdom, the new kingdom. Blessed are those. Stage three, the church is empowered by the Holy Spirit at Pentecost and Acts. And the fruit of that kingdom was this Acts 2 church that we look back on and see, how do we do this? This is a vision for how we move forward. And stage four, the return of King Jesus, making all things right. I went to Bataan a few years back, and Bataan is one of the most unreached places in the world. Very few Christians in Bataan. It's still led by a king, a Buddhist king. And the interesting thing about this place is when you walked in, you had to go through their museum to see their history. And when you walk through the museum, there is this god there that they serve. And it has stuck with me because of how evil or scary this beast was that they worship. Crazy face with big teeth. It looked like a monster, many eyes, many arms and legs, lots of legs. The picture of it is of this beast having an intercourse with another beast. And under the legs are people, and their necks are being stood on. And the look on these people's face is, you don't want to mess with this God. Don't mess with this God, because he will choke you out. He will stomp you down. And we met in a one-bedroom apartment with 25, 30 believers. These believers were stomped out of society, pushed out of education. Their electricity oftentimes would be turned off. They would be persecuted. They weren't allowed in the society. They were pushed to the fringes. And they were pushed to the end of their rope, so much so that their only hope was found. They tried everything else, but the only hope that was found was in Christ. Some of them experienced miraculous healing in Christ's name. There was a witch doctor there that had tried all the stuff that she had, but finally, the only healing for her was through Christ. And every person that came into this house, in this small house church, this was an Acts 2 community. We broke bread together. We sang together. We praised God together. We had something in common, even though we were worlds apart. It was amazing. There's nothing similar about their culture and our culture, but there was something about this meeting that we had where we could feel that they were believers in the one true God, the same God that we believed in. And they each told their story about how they came to Christ. It was amazing. It was like nothing I've ever seen. Jesus was alive and moving, and this Acts 2 was present there in the midst of a place where if you step out of line, you will get stomped out and your neck will be stood on. So don't mess with us. Well, Jesus has all authority in heaven on earth, even there. And that was proved by his followers. Let's take a look at this verse. This verse that we look at that says, this is church. Let's look at Acts 2:42. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings. This is after Peter gives his great sermon, and there are 3,000 in number who turn their lives over, repent, they're baptized, they're following Jesus, and they create this church. Devoted. Devoted means unremitting care to, never relaxing, constant readiness. What are you devoted to? Rooted in. Spend your time thinking about. Spend your energy towards. What are you devoted to? Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm devoted to, or say, a friend of mine's really devoted to. What are you devoted to? It's okay, I'm not going to shame you. What are you devoted to? Tell your neighbor, I'm devoted to things that I give unremitting care to. I never relax. I'm constantly ready for this in my life. What are some of them? Work?
I can't hear you.
Family? What?
BB guns.
Shoot your eye out.
Just three things. That's great. We're going to move on. They devoted themselves, and this is what they devoted themselves to. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings. This wasn't just the apostles themselves, but it was the writings of the scriptures. The scriptures were what the apostles taught. And so they devoted themselves to the word of God. And the word, the scriptures, are without error. And the word of God and the ultimate authority. Now, this is on the chopping block right now in our culture. The authority of the scriptures. Every issue that we're facing today in our culture, every scary one, every one that you're like, what's going on? Every one of them is a stem of this issue here. The word, the authority of the scriptures is the authority, is the scriptures, the ultimate authority of the one God who created all the heavens and the earth. The one God who created you and I, is it his message to us? And if it is indeed, then it has ultimate authority because we believe that God created and we believe that God knows what he's doing and we believe that God is good in his very nature. And if he has written this book for us, then it's the ultimate authority. It's not what you or I think or opinions. Even though there's lots of interpretation of the scripture, we still go to it as our authority. That's what this church is committed to, is the scriptures being the authority. They devoted themselves to the fellowship. This word fellowship means koinonia. It's joint participation, intimacy, the embodiment and proof of community. That means it's a proof of family, not a family of origin, a family of God. The family of God is a much stronger eternal organism than your family of origin. If it is truly what God says it is our eternal family. It's forever. So this word fellowship doesn't mean something that we do after church. This word fellowship is how we connect to one another, an authentic, real relationship with each other as we connect with God face to face through Christ. So it's connected, coming together as brothers and sisters in Christ. They're devoted to that. We're devoted to one another. Look at one another real quick and just say, "Your family." Oh, come on, do it a little bit better. Are you guys sleepy? I mean, seriously? Your family! Sister, brother, you're my family. So we connect as family. They devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. In the Friends tradition, and as our in our denomination, you may say, well, you don't do communion. Well, I'll give you a little insight into communion. The first disciples didn't come in a church service and have a cup of wine and some bread up here. They ate a dinner together, and they broke the bread, and they took the cup of wine, and they said, Jesus Christ has given us a new covenant. So that means every meal, you sit across the table from another believer, and you break bread. Get some bread. Take some wine. Let it represent the third cup of redemption. And look at each other and say, we remember that Christ has given us a new covenant. That we're remembered he has been broken and poured out for us so that we may have new life and we may be sitting across the table from one another being brothers and sisters. So the breaking of bread, and they devoted themselves to prayer. Prayer. Nothing moves without prayer. It's the way that God has set it up. It's his economy, that prayer moves things. And so we need to remember that prayer is still important. Prayer connects us and tunes us into the heart of God. And we need it. It's a lifeblood for us. And I will admit for myself that I don't live my life as if I believe that. So how do we get back to these things, these four pillars, the word, the body, the covenant of Christ, and prayer? How do we get back to those things? It says that everyone was filled with awe and wonders and signs performed by the apostles, and all believers were together and had everything in common. I think back to an auction that we had a few years back, and this auction, we just asked people, bring your best stuff. We're going to auction it off, and we're going to give it towards our mission in Kenya. We didn't know at that point what it was going to go to, but we prayed that God would double or triple the money from that, and he has. He has. We shared our possessions, and that money went to training pastors and training lay leaders to reproduce themselves and others. And they are doing it with a new fervor that blows anything we've seen out of the water. They're just like going crazy. They're pushing further into unreached territories, all because we gave and God blessed it. This is church. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had a need. Every day they continue to meet in temple courts. I learned of a group of churches in northern Indiana that started meeting together, just a few people, and they started praying. They prayed for God's Spirit to come and for somehow God to take hold of northern Indiana. And they started praying, and 52 days later, it went from tens to thousands, and people surrendering their hearts to the Lord, meeting daily in prayer, and then going out four by four and just sharing their lives with other people and sharing the gospel. This is church. It's going out. It's taking this gospel out. It's the Great Commission. And then praising God and enjoying favor with all people. And the Lord added to those numbered daily of those being saved. Dave Phillips told our staff the other week that he had a goal to lead one person to the Lord a week. That's ambitious, but if one day one person can pull it off, Dave can. Dave, you're the best evangelist I know. But it doesn't take Dave Phillips to do that. All he does is just talk to people, listen, ask them questions about where they're at, praise with them, and they end up finding an open door, a place where their lives connect with God's life. But what if we all had that same goal? Where we shared our faith, hoping that just one would come to know Him per week. Don't you think the Lord would add to our number daily? This is church. It seems as though we don't have time to be too busy, not with the mission that's been given. Love and hurry are fundamentally incompatible. Love always takes time, and time is the one thing hurried people don't have. We need to refocus. I need to refocus. The church is not being perfect, being entertained, being fed, making our services good or bad or right for me or you, getting gassed up for the week, quick fixes, being timely. It's 11:50. We got to close up the service by 12. Feeling good. Church is not about a style. The church is not even about being inspired. It's not about your money. It's not about our programs. It's just not what the church is about. The church is about authentic relationships with God and each other. It's about being a family. It's about redemption. It's about forgiveness. It's about meeting face to face with God. It's about having our hearts tuned to God's heart. It's about healing. It's about becoming and making disciples. It's about being discipled. It's about the expression of God's love shown through us as Christ does His work in us, through us, and for us. It's reaching out to the poor and the oppressed. It's setting the captives free from sin, death, addiction, hatred, etc. It's restoring the soul. It's preaching the good news wherever we are. It's just like the Acts 2 church. This is church. This is church. This is the mission that we're a part of. As a part of sharing, and I want to ask that we just wait on God's Spirit. Open our hearts and say, Holy Spirit, we need you. We need you. We need you to move in us. We need you to bond us together and keep your church moving forward, because you've said you will build your church. Just want to take a quick moment to read an email that I got. Alex, I'd like to take a moment to thank you and your congregation for their prayers. We have been on a crazy journey the last few months, and the comfort and love that we have felt from our community is amazing. I have always known that Wabash is a wonderful place. I was a military spouse that lived in Florida and Alaska, and nearly an entire 5 years I lived away. I wanted to come home desperately. I now understand the strong pull to come home to Wabash. We have received a multitude of get-well wishes by cards, emails, and Facebook. We are blessed to be alive. We are blessed to live in this community. We are blessed to know you and to have the connection with your church and your congregation. This email was given to us by Patty Godfrey. She had a pretty bad accident a few months back. And she just said, can you please just keep praying for my husband and I, as my husband's in a wheelchair experiencing pain every day. But the fact that she would write this says that you have been being the church to people who need it the most. This is church. It matters. It matters. And we will continue to move it forward for God's sake. Let's let the Holy Spirit move in our hearts, speak through us and to us.